please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 3, probably read verses 15 through 38. Now, Reverend God, will you stand as his word is read? Luke chapter 3, beginning verse 15. Now, the people were waiting expectantly, and all of them were questioning in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I am is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with fire that never goes out. Then, along with many other exhortations, he proclaimed good news to the people. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the evil things he had done, Herod added this to everything else. He locked up John in prison. When all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. As he began his ministry, Jesus was about 30 years old and was thought to be the son of Joseph, son of Heli, son of Mahath, son of Levi, son of Melchi, son of Janai, son of Joseph, son of Matthias, son of Amos, son of Nahum, son of Esli, son of Nagai, son of Math, son of Matthias, son of Simeon, son of Joseph, son of Joba, son of Joanna, son of Resha, son of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, son of Neri, son of Melchi, son of Adai, son of Cosim, son of Almadam, son of son of Joshua, son of Eliezer, son of Joram, son of Mahath, son of Levi, son of Simeon, son of Judah, son of Joseph, son of Jonam, son of Eliakim, son of Miliah, son of Minah, son of Mathiah, son of Nathan, son of David, son of Jesse, son of Obed, son of Boaz, son of Salmon, son of Nashon, son of Amminadab, son of Ram, son of Hezron, son of Perez, son of Judah, son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham, son of Terah, son of Nahor, son of Sarah, son of Reu, son of Peleg, son of Eber, son of Shelah, son of Canaan, son of Arphaxad, son of Shem, son of Noah, son of Lamech, son of Methuselah, son of Enoch, son of Jared, son of Mahalalel, son of Canaan, son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam, son of God. Let me see. Now I know some of my sons, it's going to sound like some. There it is. Some of those names are a little hard to pronounce. Well, our passage today picks up from where we left off on Sunday. We looked at the first 14 verses of chapter 3, and we looked at John's ministry, and it starts off by telling us when it happened. Now, he listed with historical leaders that are in place right then. Right now, we can say this message is occurring during the presidency of Biden. Next Wednesday's message will be under a new president. And so there's a change there. Just recently, the 39th president of the United States passed away, and the flags are, that's why they're flying in half staff, because of the death of a president. Jimmy Carter. During the time of Jimmy Carter, certain things happened. And we can remember, some of us, what happened then. Other people can look in history books. It is a little eye-opening when you're teaching U.S. history to high school students, and you remember that as contemporary events. But the students think of that as ancient history. But when did all this occur? About AD 29. So that would be about the time that all these events took place. During this, the reign of Tiberius Caesar is recorded in many events, and many of the other individuals are recorded in history. One thing interesting, Pontius Pilate, they couldn't find any reference to him. And, they thought he didn't exist until they uncovered stones with his name on it, talking about him being governor. And there's a lot of things that we are just waiting to be uncovered to confirm the Bible. Nothing in the Bible will be proved false by scientific discoveries. There are scientific opinions that are sometimes touted as facts, but as time progresses, we see that the truth of the Bible holds out as authority in every area in which it addresses. Well, it also talks about during the high priesthood. And this was an interesting time in the high priesthood. The high priest was to serve for life, and he wasn't to be replaced. But the high priesthood had become a political position, where Rome, if they didn't like how you were leading, they would replace you. Annas was the one that should be high priest, but he offended Rome, and so he had several replacements, and at this time, his son-in-law, Caiaphas, is also serving as high priest. But both of them were recognized as high priests. The Caiaphas, recognized by the Roman government, but the people of Israel understanding that there should be one high priest. Even though neither one of them were godly men, they were focused on enriching themselves and their amassing their power. In fact, when Jesus was cleansing the temple and driving out the people buying and selling, that area was known as the Bazaar of Annas. The open-air market of Annas, this high priest. And John came on the scene at this time. Now, John had been waiting in the wilderness. Chapter 1, verse 80 says, until the time of his ministry, he stayed in the wilderness. Well, I use the analogy on Sunday about a baseball game. When the coach picks up the phone and calls the bullpen, there are people that will come out of the bullpen and enter the field to pitch. Well, John got the call from God, it's time for you to go out and do the ministry for which you've been prepared, which your father was told about before you were born, which it was prophesied about. You are going to prepare the way for the Lord's Messiah. So John came with a message. Get ready, repent in preparation for forgiveness. There has to be repentance before there can truly be forgiveness. Jesus was bringing forgiveness, but John was preaching, you need to acknowledge your sinner. And then make way, the king is coming. the passage it talks about that he fulfilled from the prophet Isaiah reminds us of, at that time, when a king would travel, everything was cleared, so he had a smooth journey. If he was going across the desert, they would make sure he had a smooth, flat road, didn't have to go sand dune over sand dune. The sand was cleared off the road through the desert, and the most direct path. Monday, there will be a lot of traffic halted in Washington, D.C. for the motorcades of the outgoing president and the incoming president. You'll have to make way for them to come through. But John's saying, I'm clearing the way because the king is coming. And then he talked about, you need to give evidence that you're repenting of your sin. And three groups he talks to. First, he talks to everybody. He said, you're a brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee the judgment that's coming? Now, a lot of us saved on a Sunday from hearing my viper illustration because she was back in the nursery. But in Los Angeles, those fires are driving snakes out. Now, do those snakes, once they're driven out from where they were, suddenly change their nature? No. You still don't want to meet a snake, whether it's running from a fire or just sitting there. Well, John is saying, you're a brood of vipers. Show that you've changed your nature. And then there was one group that asked, what should we do? And he says, basically, think about others, not just yourself. If you have two coats, share it with someone that doesn't have one. If you have food, share it with somebody that needs food. The tax collectors, they asked, what should we do? He said, only collect the taxes that you're entitled to. The soldiers, what should we do? Be content with your pay and don't bully other people to try to get more. And that leads us to our passage today. This was John preparing the way for Jesus. And then John, understanding that people were waiting to know whether he is the Messiah, even though John's purpose has been explained clearly to John, and John answered, he's the voice, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, they still wanted to know if he's the Messiah. Who is going to be the Messiah? In November, on a Tuesday, every 4 years, we have a presidential election. And there's people waiting to see who will be the president. Now, that's not going to save us from our sins. It might save us from some political red tape and some, but it's not going to affect anything for eternity. John says, I am not the Messiah. There's someone greater than me. I am not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. And then he points out the superiority of Jesus. Jesus will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. I baptize you with water for repentance. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we see at Pentecost, The Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire and sat upon all those that were there. Jesus is also described as being one that has a winnowing shovel. Now, we don't really use a winnowing shovel anymore. But when you separated the wheat, it was brought to a big flat area, and they take flails and beat the husk off of the wheat, and then they take this fork, like it's sort of like a halfway between a rake and a shovel, and this winnowing fork, and you take it, throw it up, and the wind would blow the husk away, the chaff, and the grain would fall down. And that would separate what you could make the bread out of and the stuff that wasn't good for anything. You know, the stuff like when you eat popcorn, you get those little husks in your teeth. And that's not a real good part of popcorn. You like the inside that's popped out. The white stuff, not the brown stuff, it's still the shell. Well, John is saying Jesus is going to separate the wheat from the chaff. There is going to be a separation, John is telling the people. And he's going to put the grain into his barn, but the chaff is going to be in a fire that burns forever. John is telling people there's a judgment day coming. And the one that I'm preparing the way for is the one that's going to determine where you spend eternity. And then it tells us John's ministry came to an end. One movie I like to watch, and I used to show it to my physics students, was Apollo 13. Apollo 13, if you remember what happened, there was an accident. That's where we get the phrase Houston. We've had a problem. Okay. The side of the spaceship heading to the moon blew out. And they went and were able to make it all the way around the moon and back by using the lunar module, which was intended just for a few days to go and land on the moon, two people, and bring them back. They used it as what they call their lifeboat. But when the Apollo 13 got back close to ready to come back in to splash down on Earth, they set that limb free. And what had saved them, what had allowed them to come to that place, was no longer needed. John had prepared the way, and his mission was over. Just like that lunar excursion module, its mission was over when it brought the astronauts safely back to the Earth. And then, you all know in this story, all three of Apollo 13 astronauts made it home safely. Well, John is preparing the way for Jesus to bring us all safely to heaven. He had a job to do, and all of us, likewise, we are not the one that can save anybody. And we have different jobs to do. There have been many evangelists for the years. And many have passed away that we know their names. They're in heaven. They prepared the way, prepared people, and pointed to Jesus. And then, here's Jesus. He comes on the scene, and he identifies with us. Jesus did not need to be baptized for the repentance of his sins, because he had no sin. But he took on the nature of a human and identified with us by being baptized with us. He didn't need to be baptized, but he identified with sinners. But also, his identity as God was made clear. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. The confirmation of who he is. Jesus also had an earthly descent through his, if you will, adopted father, Joseph. And it gives us the genealogy of Joseph. And we see, different than the genealogy in Matthew, Matthew's genealogy only goes to Abraham. Luke's genealogy goes all the way back to Adam, reminding us that Jesus came for salvation for every person on the earth, not just the children of Abraham, but all the children of Adam. He has offered salvation for each of us. Jesus was the focus of John's ministry. John has finished his ministry, and now Jesus' ministry for 3 years is just beginning. The way has been prepared. We also have a role in preparing people to meet Jesus by telling them the truth, by living a life different than the world. We need to remember that God never promises us trouble-free life. But he does promise he's always in charge. I was reading a devotional about Joseph. Think about Joseph in God's plan. He was sold by his brothers into slavery. He was bought as a slave. He was accused of sleeping with his boss's wife, even though what he had done is refused her advances and run away. Thrown into prison. But he rose to be the second in charge in Egypt. And through God's working, his whole family was saved from a famine at the time. And the person that wrote the devotion was talking about, what if Joseph had just given up? What would have happened to the children of Jacob? So they probably would have died in the famine. There would have been no King David, no Joseph, who married Mary, no Jesus, no forgiveness of sin, no salvation. But God had a plan. Joseph could have focused on his problems. Instead, he focused on being part of God's plan, even though it wasn't explained to him what was going through. He was one who later said to his brothers, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. God's always got a plan. No matter what each of us go through, God has a plan. He's in charge. but he doesn't have to tell us what his plan is. We probably couldn't comprehend it if he tried to explain to us. And God works in long-term plans because he desires that no one perish, but that everyone comes to believe. Lord, thank you for the example of John the baptizer and how he prepared the way for your arrival, leading people to the attitude of repentance so that you can bring the message of forgiveness. Lord, let us follow the example of John, knowing who we are, who you are, and pointing everyone to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.